The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Genesis 48. And afterwards from the Confession of Faith, article number 9. Genesis 48. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, they are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. From the confession of faith, as you can find it on page 8 and 9 in the back of the Psalter, article number 9. The proof of the foregoing article of the Trinity of Persons in one God. All this we know as well from the testimonies of Holy Writ as from their operations, and chiefly by those we feel in ourselves. The testimonies of the Holy Scriptures that teach us to believe this Holy Trinity are written in many places of the Old Testament, which are not so necessary to enumerate as to choose them out with discretion and judgment. In Genesis 1, the verses 26 and 27, God saith, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. And Genesis 3 verse 22, behold, the man is become as one of us. From this saying, let us make man in our image, it appears that there are more persons than one in the Godhead. And when he saith God created, it signifies the unity. It is true, he doth not say how many persons there are, but that which appears to us somewhat obscure in the Old Testament is very plain in the New. For when our Lord was baptized in Jordan, the voice of the Father was heard saying, this is my beloved Son. The Son was seen in the water, and the Holy Ghost appeared in the shape of a dove. This form is also instituted by Christ in the baptism of all believers. Baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. In the Gospel of Luke, the angel Gabriel thus addressed Mary, the mother of our Lord. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, as shall be called the Son of God. Likewise, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. And there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. In all which places we are fully taught that there are three persons in one only divine essence. And although this doctrine far surpasses all human understanding, and nevertheless we now believe it by means of the Word of God, but expect hereafter to enjoy the perfect knowledge and benefit thereof in heaven. Moreover, we must observe the particular offices and operations of these three persons toward us. The Father is called our Creator by His power. The Son is our Savior and Redeemer by His blood. The Holy Ghost is our Sanctifier by His dwelling in our hearts. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity hath always been defended and maintained by the true church since the times of the apostles to this very day against the Jews, the Mohammedans, and some false Christians and heretics as Marcion, Manes, Praxius, Sabellius, Sametanus, Arius, and such like, who have been justly condemned by the Orthodox Fathers. Therefore, in this point, we do willingly receive the three creeds, namely, that of the Apostles of Nice and of Athanasius, likewise that which conformable thereunto is agreed upon by the ancient fathers. We hope to remember in prayer the mourning Habor family, Mrs. Jelena de Kock, who underwent her sixth treatment for her arm on Tuesday, Mrs. Daniel Ferrey, who underwent foot surgery today, Mr. and Mrs. Nathan and Annalyn de Kock, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter, and Mr. and Mrs. Jared and Cheyenne de Kock, who were blessed with the birth of a son. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is thy sparing, thy caring, thy protecting, thy providing hand that has brought us together within the walls of thy house in this evening hour. Then thou hast made a difference where there is no difference. it has pleased thee to take out of the land of the living, ushering into that never-ending eternity. After a time of sickness, declension, and yet suddenly to take out of her midst a beloved husband, father, son, and further family member. Oh Lord, do remember, uphold, and strengthen the family. Oh, do remember her who has now become a widow at a young age, and that shall become more and more reality to be lived in. What it is to be a widow, Lord, do remember the four young children who have lost their dear father with all the questions in their little mind, who have now become half orphans. Do grant a place at thy footstool where they shall be overwhelmed, perplexed, and troubled. We commend unto thee the old mother that has lost a son. We commend unto thee both extended families with the different relationships. Then we commend unto thee all the mourning families in our midst. Oh, do continue to remember, and may the callings be sanctified. May it be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. And then how needful for all of us, young and old together, where we have experienced in the congregation that the young, also the middle-aged, are taken away, and that the old must die, that we may be given to pray, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our Lord, thou knowest through our deep fallen Adam that we have lost that wisdom. And then how often, if not most of the time, perhaps nearly all the time, that we live upon the earth as if this is our abiding place, as if this is our eternity, not given regard to the words which thou hast spoken to our first parents the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Oh, we are all a dying people, Lord. May the shortness, the seriousness, the solemnity, the reality, the brittleness of life, may it be bound upon all of our hearts by the first time, and each time by renewal, and the certainty of death, of judgment, and eternity. And now in thy goodness and in thy long suffering, then thou granteth this precious time of grace unto us and our children, that we may be prepared to meet thee in righteousness and in peace, because how terrible it shall be to die to meet thee unprepared, without a new heart, without a mediator, and without blood. Lord, to that end, thou knowest that if thou dost not work by thy Spirit, then we are forever undone. And to that end, we humbly beg of thee for a blessing upon thy word in this evening hour, together with solemn circumstances, that it may be used by thy Spirit, that boys and girls, young people, middle-aged and older ones, that they may be converted by thee unto thee. When that shall take place, then also divine reality shall be experienced in the heart. And then we shall be exercised with thee, with our sin, with death, and with eternity. Lord, do remember those exercised souls, but that have no solution, that have no garment, to learn from self, no hope and no help, but wilt thou grant them an eye of faith, to look upon thy dear Son, who has come upon the world to save sinners. May it be granted unto thy children that they may be given to make their calling and election sure. Bless, O thy word, in the family circles, in the church, and in the school. We commend unto thee the established churches, the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, and also our mission field. Wilt thou remember our brother elder, together with one of thy servants, with the administrator, went for a deputy visit. Make it a profitable visit, and return them home in due time. Lord, then in this week, then thou wast taken life, but thou wast also given life. Thou wast blessed the father and mother for the first time in their married life with the birth of a little daughter, another father and mother by renewal with the birth of a little son. Grant unto those parents a little humility, be wonderment, astonishment, thankfulness for the precious gift which thou hast entrusted unto them, with profound impressions, their lives, the lives of their children, are so brittle, and that the prayers may be multiplied, that they may be little ones for thee. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, another blessing, but also an increased responsibility. We commend all unto thee, all the mothers with the unborn. Wilt thou graciously watch over them all, and in due time gladden with thy divine deeds. Remember also parents who have experienced disappointments in their married life. Then we commend unto thee the sick and the afflicted, O Lord. Do remember that young mother who was undergoing another treatment. Help her in her pain. Oh, may it please thee, wonder-doing God, to yet bless the means. At times cannot be different, overwhelmed, discouraged, together with her dear husband. May they be given to tell thee all, and that also this way may be blessed by thy Spirit, be profitable for their soul. A mother in this day has undergone surgery on her foot. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening? Then for a while, she shall be as a Mephibosheth, although only on one foot. But, may it please thee, as the greater David, to fetch her out of Lodabar and to bring her to the city. Then it would be a blessed affliction. Remember her together with her dear husband and children. Lord, remember all those that are under the physician's care, in special ways the circumstances are all known unto thee. We commend unto thee those who struggle with weakness of mind, with depression, Lord. Remember them in a special way. We humbly beg of thee for thy help in this evening hour. Do open thy precious testimony. May thy word go forth with power divine. May it be applied. Make it a special evening. Dwell richly amongst us. Have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold, but, Lord, thou hast declared in thy word, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of them. Wilt thou make thy house a Bethel? Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 192, the first four stanzas. O gracious God, forsake me not when I am old and gray, that unto those that follow me I may thy might display. And what follows, Psalter 192, the first four stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for the chapter we have read together, Genesis 48, and for our text, we shall read the verses 15 and 16. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Our text words speak of Israel blessing the two sons of Joseph on a sickbed. With four thoughts, in the first place, a Jacob's rich testimony. Secondly, Israel's desired confirmation. Thirdly, Israel's profound designation. And in the fourth place, Israel's clear validation. Israel blessing the two sons of Joseph on a sickbed. Jacob's rich testimony, as we find it in the verses 1 through 8. Israel's desired confirmation in the verses 8 through 11. Israel's profound designation in the verses 12 through 16. And Israel's clear validation in the verses 17 through 22. Beloved congregation, we have heard the last time out of Genesis 47 that it is written, and the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And then he has spoken to his son Joseph concerning his burial. Thus, Father Jacob, 147 years old, he felt that his strength was diminishing, that he was becoming more frail, more feeble. And then Father Jacob did not say, my father Isaac has become 180 years old, and my grandfather Abram 175 years. That Father Jacob did not say. But he was exercised with death. How is it with us, congregation? Are we also exercised concerning that meeting with our Maker? Are we prepared? Our younger ones, middle-aged ones, when you feel healthy and strong, oh, a great blessing. But that you think, I am not so old yet, I still have time. How do you know that congregation? Have experienced that thus far, we are not to the end of the year. And there's also one on the top of the list who shall be next, and not necessarily the oldest member. We have seen it 14 years, a young daughter, and then this week, a father of 48 years. And now in our chapter, then Jacob has become sick. Also, when we are sick, that is something to say. And many times for older people, then sickness, that is the chariot that the Lord uses to usher them into eternity. And now it was told Joseph, the family of Jacob has dwelt in the land of Goshen, a blessing separated from the other Egyptians. But Joseph, busy in the court, in the government offices, concerning the business that he had, concerning the place that Pharaoh has placed him. But then we have heard it. When Joseph has heard it, we read of different beholds. In the first verses, sometime expressed as low. And then we read that it was told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And then he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And then we read, and one told Jacob. In the history of Jacob, and then we read the name of Jacob and Israel used interchangeably. Many times the reason is clear, other times not so clear. But God's people shall experience much of thy Jacob. But Jacob could tell experientially how that he has become an Israel. And now we read, it was told, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And why has Joseph, when he heard that his father was sick, and then Joseph has brought his two boys with a vehement desire, of course, that once more they may see their grandfather, perhaps also to bid him farewell. But then Joseph also had greater desires. And what was that? That is two sons and also Joseph. But that also those two sons, Ephraim, Manasseh and Ephraim, because they were brought up in the court of Pharaoh, as separated from their cousins. And then we know it is written in the Bible that Joseph has married Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On. Thus what a dangers in that court also. What a drawing there must be of the religions of the religion of the Egyptians. But then it cannot be different than it was the desire of Joseph When he has brought his two boys, Joseph was 56 years old, and that is two sons. Oh, undoubtedly that has been the prayer of Joseph, that those two sons and also Joseph, that they may hear something from the lips of Father Jacob of the wonderful works of the Lord, what the Lord has done. What is then necessary? In the first place, that such a soul, such a grandparent, has experienced the wonderful works of the Lord, of grace in their hearts and in their lives. Then in the second place, then it is necessary that such a soul may have a close and tender life with the Lord. Because I read in Psalm 25 verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he showeth them his covenant. And what else? Because when there is not that close life, then it is just a sounding symbol. Can be a beautiful testimony, but it shall not be lively. And what else? The third point, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God's people cannot make that lively testimony. Then what a privilege and what a blessing it is when in their old age, when death is approaching, that they may be given to glorify their God and Savior. And now it is clear in this chapter that it was granted unto Jacob, and it is remarkable that in Hebrews 11 that there is not spoken of Jacob blessing his 12 sons in Genesis 49, but that there is spoken of this chapter, as we read in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And now Joseph has brought his two boys. The oldest, Manasseh, that name means to forget. Thus that implies, boys and girls can understand it, that Joseph has not forgotten his family and not his upbringing and not what has been taught to him by his parents. But then with that name Manasseh, then Joseph was implying that he did not forget the blessings which the Lord has granted in the land of Egypt. Also instruction for us. Can be trials and there can be difficulties, crosses, burdens, and that we are so focused and they can be great and so overwhelming, but that we forget all of our blessings and the goodness of the Lord. Then we need to think of Manasseh. And then a second boy was called Ephraim. That means to be fruitful. What a blessing it is in the way of sanctification also. that the church may be fruitful. And now we read, when Joseph has come with his two sons, then we read of Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. Then an Israel was given with God's help in his sickness. Then he may strengthen himself for two purposes. On the one hand, for his two grandsons, and for Joseph, unable to tell what a great and wonderful God he has served. And in the second place, for God's glory. And then Jacob has begun. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty. We read in Genesis 17, verse 1, all for an Abraham with no Isaac, already so old that the Lord has appeared unto him as God Almighty. Oh, then Jacob has experienced in the way of providence that the Lord is everything in his hands. But then have you heard it? Then Father Jacob was enabled on a sickbed, would soon be a deathbed. Then he was enabled to tell those two sons and Joseph of two special benefits in the steps of grace. We may believe that Jacob served the Lord very early, but then he was given to relate that was a matter that he has experienced by the grace of God. Oh, what a blessing it is when the church may reflect back on the way which the Lord has led them. Oh, think of the psalmist in Psalm 71, the verses 17 and 18, where he was given to declare that he had been young, become old. Hitherto the Lord has kept him with the desire to declare the power of God to the upcoming generation. Oh, it is true. When the pilgrim becomes older and they are given to reflect, then they have so much to be ashamed of. Sometimes they think if they could do it over again, likely would not be so much better, although they have learned more. But much to be ashamed of. But then Jacob has experienced a faithful God. For an unfaithful Jacob, a deceiver. Oh, it is true, the desire was good, was such a vehement desire. He could not live without the blessing of the Lord, but he could not wait. And together with Rebekah, they have taken matters into their own hand. And then on account of the enmity of Esau, then he had to flee. And then a dark night in the wilderness with pillows as a stone, seemed it has all come to an end. Then the Lord has given such a wonderful revelation. What was that, boys and girls? In the dream, what did the Lord show? A ladder between the earth and heaven, the angels ascending and descending. And the Lord has spoken and the Lord has promised. Thus Father Jacob was given to speak to Joseph and his sons, of the revelation of a way of salvation, of a mediator between earth and heaven. And then he has continued, and then he has spoken the further blessings of what the Lord has spoken, that he would be fruitful and an everlasting possession for the church. It was the land of Canaan, but for the church, that everlasting possession, that heavenly Canaan. And then we read further, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, thus Jacob, later with his hands, it would become clear, but he has already, many times the Lord instructs his people step by step. Then already to Joseph, then he has mentioned the younger before the older. And now for Joseph, but also for those boys, because undoubtedly those two sons of Joseph, not living in the land of Goshen, then they must have felt inferior, excluded, and not like the other cousins. But now what precious things, what encouragement they were given to hear, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before he came, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Thus they were included. Oh, what an encouragement for Ephraim and Manasseh. They are mine. The same as Reuben and Simeon, they were the two oldest boys that were born unto Leah, and the birthright went to the oldest son. They would receive a double portion, but Reuben has sent it all away, and to that end, it is true, we may speak of a royal birthright that is went unto Judah, because out of Judah the Lord Jesus Christ was born, as Moses has testified in blessing the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 33 verse 7, and this is the blessing of Judah. But now concerning the natural birthright, we read in 1 Chronicles 5 verse 1, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, and that speaks of Reuben, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, and the genealogy is not to be reckoned after the birthright. Thus then the birthright was transferred to the oldest son of Rachel, and to that end, then they would receive a double portion in the promised land, the tribe of Ephraim and Manasseh. What that must have been for those boys. Oh, how often they must have feared, being afraid that they would be excluded. They were born in Egypt, and they have not dwelt in the land of Goshen. But now, under the blessing of Israel, they were included. Are there a few souls in this evening that know what it is to be excluded? Does not mean those sons did not have a hope. but there is a church with that hope that they need a confirmation. And they desire to hear what those sons have heard, that Jacob has said, they are mine. What is thy only comfort in life and death, that I am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior? And now it is the work of the Spirit, using the Word of God, that those souls that live not in Goshen, but have made that good choice, that there are those times that the Lord may include them, that they may hear their name. And then Jacob, then he has spoken of his beloved wife Rachel. Perhaps those sons of Joseph, they bore the image of mother, although we read at the moment his eyes were dim. It was in the next chapter at the end of his life that Jacob was given to declare, and there have I buried Leah. Our second thought, Israel's desired confirmation. And then we read, and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Then it is true, then it is clear that Israel desired a confirmation, because in his testimony, then he has spoken of Ephraim and Manasseh, that they were mine just like those other sons of Jacob, and that they would receive their portion in the promised land. Then Father Israel had a desire to hear it out of the mouth of Joseph, that Joseph may also speak and give a testimony of the Lord's goodness, because Joseph has experienced much in the way of providential trials, but also of the Lord's faithfulness, and that the Lord is also, young people, you can understand what it must have been when Joseph, with his beautiful dreams, was in prison, and then his brothers, his thoughts, married, receiving a family, and we would say the best years of Joseph in prison, not because of sin, but because he was upright, that he has said to the wife, how can I sin and do this great wickedness before the Lord? But now, Father, Israel has given unto his son an opportunity that Joseph may also speak of the Lord's doing. And then we read an answer, and then what a fitting answer it is. Oh, we live in a time in the world that many times it seems that children, or too many children, are seen as a burden. But now Father Joseph has answered in verse 9, they are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. Then Joseph may testify of the Lord's goodness, and that he may also receive a family. And in that way, then he has followed the language, not exactly the same, what we read in Genesis 33, with the meeting with Esau, that Esau has said unto Jacob, who are these? The children which God has graciously given thy servant. What a precious testimony for parents. And then we must remember, we have many newer translations of the Bible that are not sound, that use contemporary language. But I have not yet seen one translation that has translated children into kids. But even all those modern translations, then they hold onto children. Oh, what a precious testimony. What a blessing that children are. A gift from heaven with body and soul, brittle, need to be carried upon the wings of prayer, if it may be the will of God, that they may be spared a great responsibility to be instructed in the ways of the Lord with the prayer, that it may be blessed by the Spirit, that the Lord may take early possession of their hearts, accompanied with a godly example, that they may be given to hear of the wonderful things of the Lord. Thus Joseph had opportunity to declare that they were gifts which the Lord has given me in this place. And then they were brought nigh unto Jacob. And then Israel said unto Joseph, then in Israel may testify how good and how faithful that is God has been. Because he thought, although for Father Jacob, what a deep and what a mystery for 22 years concerning his son, also spoken unadvisably. Oh, when unbelief has the upper hand, are there souls that struggle with unbelief? Oh, maybe a soul, I hear a soul say, but if I now truly knew that I was one of the Lord's, if I now assuredly knew what I believe, what the Lord has spoken, applied to my soul, that it was truly the Lord speaking, then I could so easy patiently wait for it. But, that unbelief and the devil together, what a trouble it gives for a child of God. And Father Jacob, when his boys were ready to go to Egypt the second time, Genesis 42, verse 36, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, thou wilt take Benjamin, all these things are against me. But now, for the true child of God, when does their unbelief now become their greatest sin? When the Lord comes over by renewal, when the Lord fulfills what he has promised, then they become so small. And then what a great sin their unbelief becomes. How ashamed, What a confession. Oh, in the beginning, they can even make the promise when the Lord comes over and fulfills, Lord. Now thou hast been such a wonder-doing God, now I shall never doubt no more. Now I shall simply, with the childlike faith, embrace thy word and patiently wait for thy ways. But the church learns with that father out of Mark 9, verse 29, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But now Israel is given to confess. And then he said, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. Let us first sing. Psalter 305, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. How blessed the man who fears the Lord and greatly loves God's holy will. His children share his great reward, and blessings all their day shall fill. And what follows? 305, the first three stanzas. Thirdly, Israel's profound designation. Then Joseph has placed his two sons before his father Israel, and then Joseph has placed Manasseh on the right side of father Israel and Ephraim on the left, with the intention that Manasseh, being the firstborn, that he would receive the greatest blessing, that he would receive a double portion. But then we read in the scripture, led by the Spirit, that father Jacob has crossed his hands, that his right hand, with the greater blessing that would be received by the youngest son, because the laying on of hands that symbolically points to receiving a blessing. And then father Israel, we read, and he blessed Joseph, and in that way the sons would receive a blessing, our congregation. What a blessing it is for our young people and children when they may have such grandparents that have experienced the wonderful things of the Lord, a godly walk, and at times freedom to tell of the wonderful works of the Lord with much prayer that the Lord may work in their generations. And what a blessing it is for grandparents. Oh, there are grandparents, when they think of their grandchildren with grief, with lamentation, that those grandparents can no longer say they are mine, where they have bid farewell to the truth, the old truth, and the old ways, seeking it elsewhere, can even be so hardened that they do not even have a desire or are willing to hear of the precious ways of the Lord. Oh, in that respect, then father Israel was greatly privileged above his father and grandfather, because both in the lives of Abram and Isaac, then they were not, all the families were not surrounding them, but oh, for Israel, then on a sick, which would soon be his deathbed, then he may be surrounded by his family, and even those two boys in the court of Pharaoh, where the Lord has watched over them, then they have still come to father Israel to hear the wonderful things of the Lord. And then father Israel has declared, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, Lord has promised to work from generation to generation. And Matthew Henry has written, those that would inherit the blessing of their godly ancestors and have the benefit of God's covenant with them must tread in their piety And then secondly, then the older generation should recommend the service of God to them. Thus then, Father Israel has three special points. First, speaking of the former generations. Secondly, the God which led me all my life long unto this day, his wonderful provision also with the famine, not perished. Then they may come down to Egypt with those storehouses which have been filled, liberally provided for. And then the third blessing. Oh, then Israel was given to speak of a Peniel, of the application of Bethel, the angel of the covenant, the Lord Jesus Christ, and where he received that new name, that his sins were cast into the sea of forgetfulness, that they were blotted out by the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you hear, people of God, what precious things that Israel could speak of. Happen sometime that for those truly godly seeking souls who have so little freedom to speak, although at times they may speak of what the Lord has done, but then many times it pleases the Lord to grant those souls with that close and tender life that on their deathbed that they may be given to experience the further leadings, a liberty, a testimony of what the Lord has done, and that they may enter into the joy of the Lord with rejoicing. And now, Father Jacob, then he could speak of special matters, of Bethel, of revelation, the faithfulness of the Lord in providence, his care. But then he could also speak of a Peniel, where he has been set free through the blood of the Lamb. He received that white stone, as I read in Revelations 2, where we read of a white stone and a new name that has been given. And then we further read, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abram and Isaac. Thus that means that Manasseh, Ephraim and Manasseh, that he would have part of the inheritance, that they would also be included among the children of Israel. Ah, that is the desire of the Church of God. Fourthly, Israel's clear validation. Joseph has heard it. Joseph has seen it, those crossed arms. and Joseph was displeased. Thought his father has made a mistake and has spoken kindly unto his father. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father, for this is the firstborn, put thy right hand upon his head. Are there souls that are exercised with crossed arms and that cannot agree with it? Many times the Lord, he leads his children in mysterious ways. We call them cross providences. Thomas Boston has written some sermons, put in a book called The Crook of the Lot. Maybe souls that cannot agree therewith, and that are as Joseph. Then we could speak of much more. Not patience, murmuring, maybe even a little anger, that it seems that the Lord is doing it all wrong. What do we then need? Then we need light from above, given to see that the Lord is sovereign, and for his true people, then he hears souls say. But that is now the struggle with those cross providences. Oh, if I had that assurance that I was one of the Lord's, then I could so easily give it over, because I know for his people that the Lord is too good to be unkind and too wise to err. But that is now the question. And that is the question. If it is true, then it shall be accompanied with that prayer and desire that we may hear what Jacob has said to those sons of Joseph, that they are mine. Then we could speak, if we may say it so, also crossed hands in the leadings of grace, that it is so mysterious and that it goes so different than we had ever thought, imagined. Because do we not read in Jeremiah 45 verse 4, all that I have built up is broken down, and all that I have planted, I pluck up. That it goes so different in the way of grace than we had thought. Hope to become more holy, if it is right and healthy in the life of the true child of God, less sin, and become a greater sinner. Then may we not reverently speak of crossed hands of the Holy Father, that he has placed the sin of his people, the curse, the wrath, which they have 1,000 times deserved and merited, that the Holy Father, that he lies that hand upon his dear son as a servant, to carry away the curse and to that end to lay his hand upon his child and to impute to them that blessed righteousness. Oh, what a blessed exchange. Christ taking the sins of his child, and the child may receive that imputed righteousness. Then Jacob has declared, Israel has declared, that Ephraim would become the greatest. At Mount Sinai, when they left, then Ephraim to that tribe, there were 40,500, and Manasseh 32,000. Then Ephraim was the greatest, although when the second census was taken close to the promised land, then Ephraim was 32,000 and Manasseh was 52,000. Nevertheless, Ephraim had the preeminence sometime in the Bible. Then the 10 tribes, or even all of Israel, is called Ephraim. Think of the precious text in Ephesians 31, verse 20. Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake unto him, I do earnestly remember him well. And then we do not read of a Manasseh that he was given to compare with Ephraim, that Manasseh has complained. Thus that implies that Manasseh was also humbled, that he may have part of that inheritance. And then at the end we read that Father Israel has said, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. Oh, what an encouragement. What a blessing for Joseph and his two boys, that the Lord would remain that faithful covenant God, that he would never leave nor forsake them, but that the Lord, oh, what a comfort, what a blessing for Father Israel, that the Lord would continue to work in the generations, that he would bless his seed, and out of that seed, the promised Messiah would be born. So we also read of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was ready to depart and return unto his Father, that he has said unto his church, to his disciples, lo, I am with you always unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard that the two sons of Joseph, that they have heard of wonderful things, but that they were also included in the blessings which thou hast promised to Abram. Ach, Lord, work lovingly and irresistibly where there is no concern. Do work that concern. And, Lord, when there are souls, as Manasseh and Ephraim, with many questions, with many riddles, not living in the land of Goshen, but with multiplied prayers. Ah, wilt thou remember them and show thy favor that thou bearest unto thy people. And then for thy children, much to meditate upon, much to examine. When we have heard of the wonderful things that Jacob may speak of, Lord, watch now over us in the remainder of this week. Do remember the mourning family. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 215. Let us only sing 1, 4, and 5. O come, my people, to my law. Attentively give ear with willing heart and teachable the words of wisdom here. 215. Only the stanzas 1, 4, and 5. And the consistory wishes to announce the funeral arrangements for Mr. David Habauer. Visitation is scheduled for Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Thus there shall be no catechism classes, and the funeral on Tuesday afternoon at 1:30 p.m. and both at the Pitcherview Church. 215, 1, 4, and 5. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.